When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
March is National Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. Colorectal cancer is the second deadliest cancer in the United States, yet it's one of the few cancers that is preventable thanks to screening. My guest today is someone who was diagnosed with stage 3 rectal cancer at the age of 29. She has endured 4 metastatic reoccurrences. Fawn Gallagher's body has been a battleground for cancer for 15 years. And after being misdiagnosed with no family history of cancer, this was a big challenge she faced. But everyone who knows her says that Fong is a fighter and someone that has turned a terrible diagnosis into advocating for others. Many people would be angry at the world after so many treatments, rounds of chemo and surgery, but Fong wears her scars proudly and is determined to use her experiences to help others diagnosed with cancer. Being your own health advocate, something she wants everyone to learn from, and something I've learned over the years, is you have to be the one calling the shots. Learn everything there is about the illness you have and talk to as many people you can to make sure you're making the best decisions for yourself. You will be inspired by her story and her message. Please welcome Fong Gallagher to the Janice Dean Podcast. March is an important month, right? It's Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. And I know it as MS Awareness Month, too. So you and I both have our Awareness Month of March.
That's amazing. I had no idea. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. What's the color? What's the color for the awareness?
It's a blue. It's almost like a royal blue.
Yeah. Orange is ours. So there you go. Orange and blue today.
Well, you know, and that's funny because Fight Colorectal Cancer that I work with, National Advocacy Organizations, our colors are orange and blue. So,
wow. Well, that's kind of cool. So tell me, you know, I know from experiencing an illness that it takes your own advocacy. You have to be your own health advocate to, you know, to advocate for yourself, to get the right doctors, to do your own research, to educate yourself. And I know you did the same thing. You got colorectal cancer very early on, which is pretty rare, correct?
Fortunately, it's not as rare anymore. It is on the rise. And when I first got diagnosed, I was basically told that I was the only one, which was very not true. And it took me probably about a year to discover that. And the truth is, when I first got diagnosed, I was not an advocate whatsoever. You know, I had grown up in a culture where you respect authority, you know, especially doctors, you know, they went to school. They're the ones who have the education. They know what they're doing. And unfortunately, when I went and presented with symptoms, because of my age, because I looked young, because I had such a healthy lifestyle, I really got just dismissed. You know, I was told that my symptoms were just because of stress, that maybe I had IBS or something else similar to that. It really delayed my diagnosis by about a year and a half until I went to a different doctor, and that doctor was actually concerned about my symptoms rather than my age. And that's when we found out that I was at that point stage 3 rectal cancer.
Wow.
So when I got diagnosed, you know, I basically just put my head down, did whatever the doctor said, and, you know, and hoped that we would be able to figure this out. And when I found the others a year later, it was through the Colon Club. And that's for, you know, early age onset colorectal cancer patients, caregivers, you know, anybody that's been touched by it, that, you know, I started seeing other people asking questions, and not only asking questions, but challenging their doctors. And I started learning that it's not just okay to ask questions. You should ask questions because you have to understand, as you were saying, what is it that you're dealing with? You know, what are the things that are right for you in treatment? That's really a partnership with your doctor. That should be a discussion. And once I learned that, I started asking questions and my entire care changed. It really became something that was the partnership, and the things that were important to me came to light, and we were able to work on a treatment plan that was right for me. And it wasn't just, here's the routine, everybody gets this standard treatment anymore.
One size fits all, right? It's not, it doesn't work that way. Tell me the symptoms, you know, for people out there that are wondering if they have something like this or they need to watch out for.
Exactly. Well, the most common symptom actually is no symptoms at all.
Wow.
And that's because it takes quite a while into the disease before most people start experiencing symptoms. However, if you see blood in your stool that's not going away, weight change, you know, significant weight change that is unexplained. You know, if you have not just blood in the stool, but changes in the stool. So, you know, you really have to just watch your bowels and see, like, if it could, the blood could be a little smear on the tissue paper when you wipe. It could be, you know, some blood in the bowl. It could be on the stool itself. Whatever it is, you know, if you see that, regardless of your age, go ask a doctor to get screened, because there are so many screening options now that it shouldn't be intimidating. It shouldn't be scary. And it should be something that we talk about. You know, everybody talks poop. Everybody does it. You know, we should be okay talking about it in polite conversation.
I agree, because it is one of those things that you're scared to talk about, right? We all poop. It happens. And we have to be concerned when our poop doesn't look regular. You know, like, hello, people, we have to do it, right? And, you know, even having a colonoscopy, as soon as I turned 50, I started regularly having them. My husband has to have them more often because he, you know, he was a firefighter down during 9/11, and they're more predisposed to cancers, so he gets it a little bit more often. And it's not a procedure that we should be afraid or ashamed of. I worry that people are scared of it, scared to talk about it, scared to approach a doctor about it, and maybe that's why we're not having more proper diagnosis.
Exactly right. And you're right. It's not something to be afraid of. It's, you know, most people are actually so afraid of the procedure itself. And I have to tell you, the prep is actually the worst part. Just
yes.
It's gross stuff that you have to drink. But it's not the end of the world. And, you know, and I trust me, it's a lot easier to just have one day of prep and get that clear than to have to deal with cancer.
Yes.
It's a whole lot easier, I promise you.
Yeah. And I will say one of the best moments that I've had with my doctor was when she told me after the procedure, she's like, you did your prep so well. You had such a clean colon. And I was like, yes.
That's right. Be proud of that. That's awesome.
Okay. So how did it get to the point where it was stage three when they finally diagnosed you, Fong?
Okay, so the thing is that I had every checklist symptom, it seemed like, when I went to that first doctor. You know, I had the blood in the stool, I had the weight loss. He even said, oh, you're anemic, which is another sign that you might, you know, that you might have an issue. And so he's just listing all these things out. And I just couldn't believe it when I got diagnosed after the fact, right? So I had these symptoms, and what did it was we were actually outside playing one day, my husband and my daughter and I, and, you know, it was summer and I was hot and I just like went inside. It's like, I need to sit for a minute. I just felt really fatigued all of a sudden. And he came in to check on me a little bit later. He's like, oh my God, you are burning up. We need to go get you to the doctor. You know, and I did the blow him off. No, no, I'm fine. It's just a summer cold or whatever it is. And I'm fine. Don't overreact. Right. Mm. And he, you know, he took me to the doctor and she said, you know, we can do something about these stomach pains that you're talking about. Let's get you into a gastroenterologist though, because he'll be able to better answer those questions. But I weighed in at 85 pounds. Mm. That is nothing. That is a wisp of a person. And, you know, even I've always been small, like 105 is my normal. Okay. But just when that happened, it was just such a shock. I just couldn't believe how could I be that small. But you know, I went to see the gastroenterologist and he says, you know, your answers just don't really point to anything. Let's just put you through a colonoscopy to rule things out. And he found the cancer as soon as he went in.
Wow.
He said it was at the rectal break, so it was probably about an inch up. And had the previous doctor that I saw done a rectal exam, a digital rectal exam, he would have felt it.
Wow.
And even without a colonoscopy, he would have been able to find that there's a problem. And that's why my challenge to doctors is please look at the symptoms, not our age, because it is on the rise. You know, we just did a United in Blue installation in Washington, D.C., where we planted 27,400 blue flags, which represent the number of people that are under 50 that may be diagnosed with colorectal cancer by 2030. And that really isn't that far away.
Yeah. I've been reading articles that, you know, many young people are now being diagnosed with cancer more so than ever before. Now, is it because we're better at, you know, knowing symptoms? Doctors are a little bit more proactive about that. I mean, I think about Kate Middleton, right? Just recently, she comes out and says that she has cancer. And you look at her and you think, how? But, you know, we don't know the whys and why it happens to certain people. You know, cancer has no political party, right? It doesn't matter if you're young or old or what you look like or what your income is or you know where you're from. It strikes anyone.
Yes. And unfortunately, it is on the rise in the younger population. Doctors are still looking for the whys behind it. Certainly environmental changes is a possibility. You know, we're eating differently now than we did decades ago. You know, there is the hereditary factor, you know, the things that we pass on from parents to children. There are certain things like Lynch syndrome or FAP that are things that predispose you to colorectal and other cancers. You know, so there are different factors that are still being examined, and we still don't have the whys behind it. And that's why research funding is just so critical right now. Believe it or not, colorectal cancer is the only one of the top five cancers that does not have its own line item funding through the Department of Defense. And that's where a lot of the cancer funding comes from. So, you know, if we can get our own line item funding, then that's going to take a lot of research that is just sitting there waiting in the wings and put it into action.
I can't believe that, because this is one of those cancers that is on the rise, correct?
Absolutely is.
Don't go anywhere. We'll have more of the Janice Dean podcast right after this.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I look at this picture of you. You're so beautiful and you are so brave, you know, to show your scars from all of the surgeries that you've had. Where does that bravery come from to show, you know, the battle wounds that you have?
I never think of myself as brave. You know, I mean, like you put one foot in front of the other with the pain that you have to deal with and all the other things with MS that are just debilitating on some days, quite frankly. And so for me, you know, what did it was I've never been one who wanted to be in the spotlight. I've always preferred to be, you know, in a supporting role. But I went in the forum that I was talking about with the Colon Club. I met this person named Belle, and she was this phenomenal person who her tagline was "Don't retreat, reload." And that always stuck with me because it was just, you know, yes, you can, you, some days you just have to have that pity party and you just have to sit there and feel sorry for yourself. But then you can't stay in the dumps. You have to pick yourself up and move on and just do it, right? Just deal with whatever's coming at you one step at a time. And, you know, Belle had encouraged me to apply for this magazine that you're talking about. And, it's the On the Rise magazine, actually. And I just, at first I said, no, it wasn't something that I was comfortable with. She continued to pursue me and then Belle passed. And that was really hard because she was the first person that I knew in this cancer space that I really knew, admired and loved. And she was gone all of a sudden. And I didn't know how to deal with those emotions. And so I thought about it. And the best thing that I could do to honor Belle was to do what she had asked me to. And so I applied for the magazine. I got accepted. And I, you know, I went to this retreat. And it was the most healing experience. I can't tell you what it's like to meet others like you when for over a year, you know, all you've seen are these older people in your cancer center who are going through, you know, things similar to you, but they're dealing with different things in their lives. You know, I was dealing with trying to start a family. I was trying to deal with, you know, establishing my career, all these things that young people are facing were different from what they were worried about. You know, they were looking more in the aspect of, you know, going to their grandchildren's recitals and being around for that. You know, it's different. I went to this retreat and it was this amazing experience. And I realized that I needed to represent people like me, who were young, who don't have that voice within themselves yet, to help them discover it, to encourage them to speak out and not be afraid to ask those questions, to share their stories, because that's the first step to advocacy, is really sharing your story. Because you never know who's listening and who's really impacted by it. And what I've found is a lot of people really connect to it, and then they go and they get checked. They go and they address those symptoms that have been bothering them, but they keep putting aside, like I did for so long. You know, it's really remarkable.
When you look back, are there things that you could have done? I mean, you strike me as a very healthy person. You didn't have, you know, cancer in your family per se. That was a, you know, a big red light type of thing. What do you think? I mean, what can people do? You say we need to eat better. What are some of the things that we can do right now?
Well, you know, eating processed meats, red meats in particular, is really bad for you. You know, the carcinogens that are present in those delicious burnt hot dogs that, you know, you have over the summer, you know, these things, it's not to say that you can't eat them. You absolutely can. Just in moderation, you know, when everything in moderation, right? When you think about eating too much red meat and too much of these carcinogens that is found in kind of like the overcooked burnt foods, those are things that are going to contribute to a less healthy lifestyle. It's going to lead to more possibilities of developing cancers. What else can you do? Certainly screening on time. It used to be 50. The screening age actually has been lowered to age 45 now for people at standard risk. So that people at standard risk means if you have history of cancer in your family, colorectal cancer in particular, you're not at standard risk and you should be screened sooner, most likely, depending on your situation. And so it's important to talk to your doctors to find out what is your proper screening age. But, you know, there are so many different options for screening now. It's not just the colonoscopy. That's still the gold standard. And that's the only one that is actually preventative. Because if they go in and they find a polyp, they can remove that polyp and remove that risk of cancer right there. because that polyp will no longer be in danger of becoming cancer. But other screening methods are those Cologuards that you see on TV, in the commercials. There's also what we call a FIT test. Those are fecal tests that you can take in the privacy of your home. You know, so you basically get the sample, you mail it off, and it's super simple. There's no prep to that one. And then there are blood tests that are now starting to be developed and coming out, where it can be done as a part of your regular lab works. So definitely get screened is something else that you can do.
Mm-hmm. And how are you feeling today? Like, are you cancer free? You know, you tell me.
You know, that's always a little bit of a loaded question for me, because how I feel day to day really varies. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Well, in my case, what doesn't kill you in the treatments leaves long lasting effects.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have a lot of nerve pain that comes. Some days are great. Other days are not so great. And I can be in a lot of pain. But, you know, like I have to tell you that life is good. You know, I'm able to continue to work and do the advocacy that's in my heart. You know, I'm able to function on a day-to-day basis for the most part. You know, certain days, like I said, are debilitating. You just have to stop and take care of yourself. I last scanned with no evidence of disease back in December. However, I am a stage 4 patient, and I'm on what we say chemo for life. That I'll always be in treatment one way or another. I actually recently started with immunotherapy, and that is technically experimental medicine. It's not FDA approved, that kind of a thing. But I have to say that it has been a great option for me. With cancer drugs, clinical trials are really important. And there are a lot of misconceptions as to what they are, but I have to encourage that's an option that a lot of people don't explore, but should, because it has given me a great quality of life over doing chemotherapy right now.
Mm, good for you. We talked about our husbands before we went to air. You know, your husband, Ed, was the one who, you know, contacted me and said, you got to talk to my wife. She's amazing. And, you know, and I said, of course I will. And we both talked about how important it is to have that support system. I've said this many times that, you know, my husband saying to me, I'm not afraid of this illness, I'm not afraid of this disease, was like one of the greatest moments of my life in our relationship. Because, you know, when you sign up for that and you could potentially be a caregiver. And that is like, that's one of the most amazing things that you can have in your life is such a support system. And so I know that Ed is there for you. Tell me about that.
He is the most amazing caregiver. I mean, just you're absolutely right. You know, when I said earlier that I couldn't do what I do without him, I really mean it in every way. You know, he's such a partner in supporting me in whatever it is that I need, you know. And it's kind of funny because some days it's what I need is for him to encourage me, because I might be having a bad day. I might be feeling imposter syndrome, you know, feeling a little overwhelmed with everything that I'm doing sometimes, or, you know, just feeling like I can't handle, you know, the craziness today. And I want to hide from the world a little bit. But other days it's, you know, it's let's go, you know, and he's right there keeping pace with me and just what's next. And he's always doing whatever it takes, whatever I need, to be there. And I can't believe that I'm so lucky to have him. And there are days where I just sit there and I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude.
Yeah, I know that feeling. You mentioned your daughter, and, you know, I've read your story, and one of the things you were hoping for was a family. But you have that in your stepdaughter, right? I mean, are you still thinking that you would like to have or somehow try to have another child?
You know, if it's in the cards someday, I would absolutely love it. I don't know if it's in the cards for me and my husband. We think about it, we talk about it. But the truth is that I was really lucky to have my daughter come into my life and talk about gratefulness for my husband and what he's brought. He brought her into my life, and you know, she's my girl. There's no, I know she's technically my stepdaughter, but I never see the step part of it. You know, she's my girl, and she and I connected from the moment we met. There's a great story of how she basically shut her dad out of the room and said, "No boys, daddy." And and we sat there and we did this little puzzle that I had given her as a nice to meet you gift for hours and hours. And he basically just laughed and watched football on TV while she and I just played. And it was just, it was the greatest meeting of my life.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, you say that your cancer has brought you closer to your family. I feel that way. Being diagnosed with an illness, it's like everything else falls away, right? All of those, maybe career was a big thing for me, you know, moving to New York and having this great television job, and all the things you want to do. When your health is affected, it really sort of brings you back to a reality of what is most important. And for me, that was the moment where I was like, my family is important. My health is important. All those other things that were felt like I needed in the past kind of just, you know, evaporated at that moment. And I know you say you felt the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my husband and I actually worked together for decades. We actually had the same job in the same company, and we shared an office. And you know, people never really understood how can you be together 24/7, and not only are you not sick of each other, like, you guys are like, you know, high school teenagers, sweethearts in high school in love kind of thing. And you know, we really are. And You're right. Just even through work, through whatever it is that comes at us, just having him there, it's everything. Mm-hmm. It really gives you the mental, the physical, the emotional, everything that you need support to be able to get through this disease and all the havoc that it wreaks in your life.
Yeah. And I love your advocacy. I mean, you really want to spread awareness. You know, what's your goal? What is your, in the next couple of years, what do you want to do to raise more awareness?
I want to empower people. You know, it's one of those things where it's not just a rug being ripped from under you. I mean, it's one of those things that can be devastating in so many aspects of your life, but it doesn't have to be. You know, I don't let it. And that sounds kind of cavalier in a sense, but you know, it's very intentional that I don't let it. You know, just looking for where can I have gratitude and where can I have appreciation for the blessings in my life. But it's also intentional in wanting to help other people, because I know what it feels like to be in that dark space of, oh my God, I just found this out. How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to tell my family? How am I going to, you know, keep life going for my kids? And, you know, just all these questions that fly through your brain. It's really hard. And I always think back to what I felt like in that time, and the not knowing being the worst. So if I can share my knowledge, my experience, to take away some of that darkness and that fear, and empower people to be able to really come into their own and do whatever it is that they need to get through this. Mm-hmm. That I really want to empower people.
And you do. And I remember that too. I remember how scary it was to say that I had this, and you go through this very dark period of feeling bad for yourself. What's going to happen? My career. For me, I had Neil Cavuto, who also works the Fox News channel. I feel grateful. You always remember that first person who was like, you're going to be okay. And that was him for me, because he was also diagnosed with MS and, you know, was still on TV and still doing all of the things that I wanted to do. So to have that role model, I'll never forget that. And I remember saying to myself, if I could be that for somebody else, then this will have been worth it, you know, this journey that I'm on. And it has been, you know, the amount of people that say, oh, I see you on TV and I have this, or my mom had that. It's the best compliment you can really give me, is somebody saying, look at her. You know, I know that sometimes she doesn't feel well and she's got this thing called MS, but if she can do it, maybe I can do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. Well, keep doing what you're doing. True. And if people want to find out more, where do you recommend they go?
You know, finding information online is hard because there's so much of it. I suggest you go to fightcolorectalcancer.org. You know, there's so much information here. There are resources. You know, we have our community of champions. If you're looking for a forum of others like you, you can ask questions there. Lots of information to be found at fightcolorectalcancer.org.
All right. Well, keep doing what you're doing. Say hi to your family for me. I hope that we can meet someday so I can give you a big hug in person. And thank you for all that you do. You really, just like your husband said, you're a remarkable young woman. And I feel grateful to have chatted with you.
Thank you so much, Janice. I really appreciate you taking the time and giving me the opportunity to share all this information.
Thanks again to Fung for joining us today on the podcast. If you want to get in touch with her, social media is a great way to connect with Fung, and she even suggests asking her anything regarding questions or if you want to share experiences. She's at Cancer Insider on X. And you can also visit www.fightcolorectalcancer.org for all sorts of great information on research and treatments and how you can get involved in helping find a cure. Thank you to all of my listeners. If you have someone you think should make the Dean's List, let me know at Janice Dean on Twitter or Janice Dean FNC on Instagram. Or you can rate this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or at foxnewspodcast.com. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. In these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.